Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Gimel, and we will begin Masechta Bei Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis on the Beis, two lines from the bottom of Yosef Omar. As we had learned in the Mishnah yesterday, Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shenolda BeYontif. If an egg is laid on Yontif, what is the halacha? Beis Shammai Amrim Teichel, the egg may be eaten. Beis Hillel Amrim Loi Teichel, the egg may not be eaten. And the Gemara had given us two explanations to understand the Machlokes. The first explanation was Rav Nachman's explanation, that our Mishnah was discussing a Beya HaYimedes L'gad L'Beyim, an egg designated to produce eggs, not designated for eating, and Beishamai were being lenient in Hilchas Muksa, not considering this egg Noilad, and Beishillel were being stringent in Hilchas Muksa and considering it Muksa Noilad. Rava had offered a different explanation. Rava taught us that all Yontif and Shabbos meals require hachana, require prior preparation, and therefore an egg that was laid when Yontif is on Sunday and the previous day is Shabbos, that egg has been prepared from before on Shabbos for Yontif, and therefore Chazal said that not only when Yontif is Sunday may such an egg not be eaten, but whenever Yontif comes out, such an egg may not be eaten. Rav Yosef now offers another explanation why this egg may not be eaten. Rav Yosef am gzeira mishum peres hanashim. This egg is prohibited to be eaten because it's a gzeira, because of fruit that falls from a tree. The fruit that falls from a tree, Chazal told us, may not be eaten on Yontif because we're concerned that one will come to cut fruit from a tree. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya to Rav Yosef, Paris and Noshim Tamamai, why did Chazal say we're not allowed to eat fruit that falls from a tree? We're concerned that the person may climb up on the tree and pull the fruit off, which is certainly an issue of the rice of Talisha. Ask the Gemara, who gufa gzeira? This halacha that you're not allowed to eat fruit that falls from the tree is a gzeira drabonon. Should we now expand this gzeira and say not only fruit that falls from the tree is asur, but even the egg that is laid on Yontif, it wouldn't that be gzeira l'gzeira? And as Rashi explains, the halacha is that asu mishmeres l'mishmarati, we only make a gzeira, we don't make a gzeira l'gzeira. Answers the Gemara, kula chad gzeirahi. Actually, this is all one gzeira. When Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat fruit that falls from the tree, they meant to include two examples. Fruit that falls from a tree, and also they meant to include egg that is laid on Yontif. Rashi explains that according to Rav Yosef's explanation, our Mishnah is discussing eggs that are born from a chicken that's oimid l'achila. However, many Mefarshim disagree with Rashi, and they say you cannot compare eggs ha'oimed l'achila, a tree, to a hen, which is oimed l'achila. A tree is muksa, as we will learn later in the Masechta. We're not allowed to lay it, even lean on a tree. However, an egg, the chicken that's oimed l'achila, is not muksa, and they therefore explain that our Gemara is referring to a chicken that's oimed l'gadol beim. And we just learned that a fruit that falls from such a tree is prohibited to be eaten. However, if the fruit fell from before Shabbos or before Yontif, it would be permitted to be eaten. However, the Pesukim point out that even if the fruit fell off before Shabbos and Yontif, one should be careful not to collect the fruit that's on the floor near the tree, because there's another melacha. There's a malacha of ma'amr, which includes collecting fruit. And most Rishonim explain, actually, that the shear from ma'amr is quite a small shear. And therefore, they explain that we should take up one fruit at a time, even if they fell from before Shabbos Yontif, to avoid the issa of ma'amr. Rav Yitzchak Amar, k'zeir m'shem hashkim shizofel. The concern here is, the reason an egg that's laid on Yontif may not be eaten, because we're concerned that somebody will squeeze a fruit, schita is aser, and therefore we're not allowed to take off, we should not drink juice, and the Gemara will discuss it later more, that flows from a fruit on Shabbos for Yontif, and an egg that's laid on Yontif is the same category. Amla Baya, similar question as he asked to Rav Yosef. Mashkin Shazava Tamamai, why did Chazal say you're not allowed to drink juice that flows from a fruit? Because we're concerned that he may squeeze the fruit. So he goof a gzera. Juice that flowed from a fruit by itself is a gzera. Ask the Gemara of Anan, Nekev and Nigz gzera, to expand it to an egg that's laid on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Kula Chad gzera, it's all one gzera's Chazal. Tosfos and Rishonim point out from this Gemara that we're dealing with Yontif. So is not Schita Mutter on Yontif? Is not pulling a fruit off from a tree that you want to eat now mutter on Yontif? So here the Rishonim point out that only a malacha that could have not been done before Yontif may be done on Yontif. The fruit could have been cut off the tree from before Yontif, and that's why it's also in Yontif. In general, we will talk in Mitzvah later in the Masechta that not all malachas are mutter on Yontif. So as we take the moment to summarize, we now have four reasons why Beis Shammai, to explain the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As we said at the beginning of the year, of Nachman's explanation regarding Muksa, Rava's explanation because of Hachana, Rabbi Yosef's explanation, Shemayal, Gzeira, Shemayal, V'yitlush, Peres HaNoishrim, and Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation because of Mashkin Shazavim. Says the Gemara, Kulak Rav Nachman Le Amri, the other Amoraim did not agree with Rav Nachman's explanation of our Mishnah. Kikoshin, because as we explained yesterday, the Gemara asked the question of Rav Nachman that if Rav Nachman's explanation is correct, why doesn't the Mishnah mention both the egg and the chicken? Kurava Le Nami Le Amri, they don't agree with Rava, because Achana Leslu, they don't hold of Achana. So way most Rishonim explained, the Miri explains, it's not to say that they don't agree to the concept of Hachana. As Rava taught us yesterday, Hachana is based on a pasuk in the Torah, V'hoye b'yom ha-shishi v'yichinu asher yaviu. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is that they do not agree that this is considered an issue of Hachana. Hachana would mean that if you cooked and baked, that the meals for Yontif have to be cooked and baked from the weekday, so too the meals on Shabbos. But here where the egg comes by itself, that is not considered an issue of Achana. However, asked the Gemara, El Rav Yosef, my Tama Loyomik Rav Yitzchak, why didn't Rav Yosef agree with Rav Yitzchak? And the Gemara will also ask why Rav Yitzchak doesn't agree with Rav Yosef. Ask the Mefarshim, why Rava doesn't agree with the other explanations is very understandable. Because Rava, according to Rava's understanding, the concern now Mishnah is an Issa D'Oraisa, so he doesn't want to just give an explanation which is a D'Rabbanan. But the question Rishonim asks is on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman also offered a reason which is D'Rabbanan, Muksa. Yet the Gemara point out the Rishonim doesn't ask why doesn't Rav Nachman agree with Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yosef. From here the Rishonim say, and we will discuss it more on Amud Beis, that Muksa, even if we hold that Muksa is an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's a higher level Issa D'Rabbanan, it's just not a regular Issa D'Rabbanan, and that's why Rav Nachman said, I'm explaining the Mishnah that it's referring to Muksa, which is a high level D'Rabbanan, and you want to say that the Mishnah is referring to a Gzeir D'Rabbanan? So therefore the Gemara is just left with the question, and Rav Yosef, my Tam Loyamak Rav Yitzchak, why doesn't Rav Yosef agree to Rav Yitzchak's explanation? Amalach, so Rav Yosef answers, Be'ya Ochla, an egg is a food, Upeiros Ochla, fruits are food, Lefuki Mashkin, however the situation that Rav Yitzchak offered, Mashkin Shazavu, the Lav Ochla, are not considered a food, rather a liquid. And therefore, it's not a good comparison to compare an egg to Mashkin Shazavim. The Poskim discuss that here we have the Gemara telling us that Rabbi Yosef telling us that he considers an egg a food, not a beverage, which has a lot of ramifications. La locha lemaisa. The shaila would be regarding a bracha achroina. How much must one eat if one swallows a raw egg? Is the shear a revius like a beverage, or is the shear a kazayas like by a food? Or another example would be regarding eating in Yom Kippur, that we know that the shear achil on Yom Kippur for a food is a kaseves, and for mashkin is a revius. The question is, what would be the shear? Another example that Rabbi Chanan speaks about is, what would be the halacha, says Rabbi Chanan, food we know to be able to be susceptible to tumah has to be mukhshal kabal tumah. You have to make it wet first. By mashkin, obviously, there is no such a din. So the question now is, what is the status of a raw egg? Is it like a food that has to be mukhshal kabal tumah, or is it like a mashkin that does not have to be mukhshal kabal tumah? Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak my tam layamak Rav Yosef. Why does Rav Yitzchak agree with Rav Yosef's explanation? That Rav Yosef said because it's a concern of Paris and Oishrim. Amlach, Beya Belua or Mashkin Beluan. A Beya is absorbed in the hen, and juice is absorbed in the food. However, Lafuke Paris, the Migla Vakaimu, Paris are visible. So therefore, it makes more sense to compare an egg to mashkin versus comparing egg to a fruit which is visible. The Mefarshim ask, the Ramah makes a point actually. The Magen Avraham quotes the Ramah in this way. There should be a new concern. A fruit that grows on Shabbos, so the part that was not there before Shabbos is certainly muksa. So that's why a fruit should be prohibited to be eaten on Shabbos, because it grew more on Shabbos. And the same actually could be said regarding an egg. The part of the egg that grew on Shabbos or on Yontif is certainly muksum. So the Magen Avraham explains that we have to understand our Gemara is talking about a fruit that's completely formed and did not grow any more on Shabbos or Yontif, and the egg was completely formed and did not grow any more on Shabbos or Yontif. Otherwise, there would certainly be an issue of muksa. Says the Gemara, V'af Rabbi Yochanan Tzavik Gzeir Mishu Mashkin Shizavu. Rabbi Yochanan also will hold that the reason an egg that's laid on Yontif may not be eaten is because the Gzeir Mishu Mashkin Shizavu. However, what the Gemara is going to teach us is that this is not because he said it explicitly. We just extrapolate based on what Rabbi Yochanan teaches us elsewhere. The Rabbi Yochanan Rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan asked the contradiction in different statements of Rabbi Yehuda, or Mishani, and he answered it. And based on his answer, we see that he holds that a Beis Shanol de Beyontiv is also because of Mashkin Shizov. Because Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to press fruits to extract juice from them on Shabbos. But if the juice came out by themselves, you're not allowed to drink that juice. Rabbi Yehuda, if those are fruits that are intended for eating, not drinking, then hayotzimahen, if the juice comes out by itself, mutter, you may drink that juice. Vilamashkin, however, if the fruits were intended to be pressed for juice, then hayotzimahen, also the fruit that comes out by itself, the juice that comes out by itself is also. And actually, in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, are always considered designated for their juice, and any juice that comes out by itself on Shabbos is awesome. Other fruits, tusim, vermoinim, maybe in our world we could explain it to be an apple, there, the distinction that Rabbi Yehuda just made, whether it's designated for eating or designated for drinking, is relevant, and we to determine what would be the status of the juice that oozed out of its on Yontif for Shabbos by itself. The Paiskim also discuss if one takes a fruit and sucks out the juice, is that mutter or aser? Many Paiskim say that it's mutter, that's not considered schita, that's considered achila, and therefore is mutter. However, Del Yoraba says that Zaysim Vanovim, that we just identified, are always considered Oymid Lamashkin, that they're there for the juice. There one should be careful not to even suck out the juice, just eat them by putting them into the mouth. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Alma. So in understanding Rabbi Yehuda's position, Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds, Kol Oichel Rabbi Yehuda, Uchla Defresu. All food, any salad food, is considered like separated from the food. As we explained in the previous shiur, it's like taking a slice of bread from a whole loaf of bread. It's one big loaf of bread. V'minu, asks Rabbi Yochanan, Astira on Rabbi Yehuda, Oram Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, this is referring to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is that produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, one has to separate Trumas and Maisris. On Yontif, one may not do that. And the question is discussed there, if someone has this produce from which he did not take the Trumas and Maisris before Rosh Hashanah, says the Tanna Kamma, that what he could do is make the following condition. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, remove the Trumas and Maisris and make a condition. If today is indeed Rosh Hashanah, then tomorrow is not Rosh Hashanah, and I could eat the Trumas and Maisris, it could be considered effective. If, on the other hand, today, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is not Rosh Hashanah, so the fact that I'm taking Trumas and Maisris today is fine, because it's a regular weekday, and then I could eat it tomorrow. So on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, says the Gemara, will be allowed to eat these Trumas and Maisris, it will be effective, Memonav Shach. Oyram Rabbi Yehuda, Masna Adam Al Kakolo, Payers Beyond the Rishon, he could take off the Trumas and Maisris on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and Memonav Shach, Oyachle B'Sheni, and be allowed to eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara further, the Mishnah further, became Beyer Benal the Rishon, a Beyer that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Toychle B'Sheni, Memonav Shach, may be eaten on the second day. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan, hearing what Rabbi Yehuda says, immediately asks B'Sheni in, only in the second day it may not be eaten. It may be eaten, this egg. B'Rishon, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, loy. Rabbi Yehuda will agree it may not be eaten. Asks Rabbi Yochanan, why? A beya, asks Rabbi Yochanan, is part of a food. And food, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with the gzeira of mashkin shezavu. So Rabbi Yochanan is asking, in the first Mishnah we quoted, we see Rabbi Yehuda teaches us by a food, we're not concerned with mashkin shezavu. In the second Mishnah we see, he is concerned with mashkin shezavu, that it is a mashkin shezavu. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan answers, Mishani Rabbi Yochanan, Mechlev Sashita. We have to change the opinions in the first Mishnah and say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that you're not allowed to eat the egg even if it comes out from a food which is not designated for its juice, and Rabbanan Amekel, says the Gemara, Umidikar Marmela Hadadi. If the Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan is asking questions between this Mishnah and that Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding Mashkin Shezavu seems to be contradictory, and he's asking the question regarding a beya. So it seems to be, it's obvious that Rabbi Yehuda holds Shmamina Dechad Tamahu, that the reason by a beya we have to say it's also when it was later in Yontif is because of Mashkin Shezavu. Says the Gemara, a different way of explaining Rabbi Yehuda's two statements that seem to be contradictory. Rabbeinu Amar La'olam Lo Teipach. There is no need to reverse the position of Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda L'Devreim D'Rabbanan Kamalu. Rabbi Yehuda is speaking to Rabbanan, and he's telling them as follows. L'Didi, I personally hold, I feel B'Rishon Namisharya, that even on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, if the egg was laid, it would be permitted to eat the egg. Why? Duch L'Defresu. Because an egg is not a mashkin, chicken is not something which is designated for Jews. It's uchla de ifris. There is no problem mashkin shazavu, and it's permitted. Ask Tosfos. That would mean that Rabbi Yehuda would be agreeing with Beis Shammai in our Mishnah that holds that an egg that's laid in Yontif is permitted, and not with Beis Hillel, even though we always know that we hold like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. Answers Tosfos that according to Ravina's understanding, we will have to say that Yehuda holds that this subject of a Beis Shinol de Beyontif is not a subject of dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. El Ritchu, but says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbonim, you who are concerned with the Gzeira of Mashkin Shazavu, Oidolimias to Bishenim Bisharya, at least agree that in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because of the Mamon of Shach that we explained before, it should be mutter to eat this egg. The Shtei Kedusha saying because the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah should be considered two separate days, and therefore we have the Mamon of Shach. Amalei Rabbanan responds to the Rabbanan Loi. As far as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Kedusha Achasi, one long Kedusha, and therefore whatever is also on the first day is also also on the second day. Ravina Bereder of Ulama, he gives another way of explaining Rabbi Yehuda's two statements. The case here is about an egg that comes from a chicken that was designated to produce eggs. Rabbi Yehuda Tameh, and we know Rabbi Yehuda is the mandama that holds throughout Shas, this Lemuksa. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds that the egg that was laid on Yontif, even though there is no concern of Mashkin Shazavu, is still Asur, because it's Muksa, because it comes from a chicken that was designated to produce eggs. Such a chicken is Muksa, and therefore the eggs that come from it are Muksa. As to Tzlach, we've had three ways of reconciling Rabbi Yehuda's position. The first one is Rabbi Yochanan Mechlefus Ashita. The second one is Ravina with a whole conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And the third way is this way, explaining what Ravina Bereid Ravula said, Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa. We know, we discussed it many times just recently as in the previous year. Rabbi Yehuda is the man to Amr throughout Shas. This lay muksa that holds a muksa. So isn't Ravina Bereid Ravula's explanation so simple? Why do we have to start with different explanations? So the Tzlach answers that yesterday we quoted a machloikis between the Baal Hamor and the Ran. What is the definition of a Tanagoilis Haimedis Lehatl Beyim? The Baal Hamor said that it has to be a chicken that's designated to produce eggs, and those eggs were not designated to be eaten. Those eggs will be designated to grow into chickens. However, according to the Baal Hamor, if those eggs are designated to be eaten, that's not called a Tanagoilis Haimedis Lehatl Beyim. The Ran was more machmer, and the Ran says that a chicken that's designated to produce eggs, even though the purpose of those eggs is to be eaten, that's still considered a Tanagoilis Haimedis Lehatl Beyim. Says the Tzlach, that's the machlok between Ravina and Ravina Bereid Rav Ula. Ravina Bereid Rav Ula is going to hold, like the Ran, that even though this Tanagoilis Haimedis Lehatl Beyim that will be eaten is muksa. However, Ravina will hold that Tanagoilis Haimedis Lehatl Beyim and those Beyim will be eaten, as is the case that's happening here, is not considered muksa. So even though Rabbi Yehuda is slay muksa, but this is not a situation of muksa according to the Baal Hamor. And now we're saying Ravina holds like the Baal Hamor. And therefore Ravina had to give a different explanation of this, of the two statements made by Rabbi Yehuda. Meisvei. Ask the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is going to try to understand a brisa based on the four explanations of the machloikas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah. An egg that was born on Shabbos, an egg that was born on Yontif, they may not be moved. It may not be used to cover a keli. From here we see the Prima Gordon points out that although we're not allowed to move muksa, but we're allowed to have hanor from muksa. Because it says, we're not allowed to move it to cover a keli, but if it's on top of the keli, it's fine. Similarly, they had a way that they could support a bed on an egg if the egg was positioned properly. If an egg was born on Yom Tov, we could take a different utensil to cover it, to prevent it from being broken. Rashi right away quotes the Gemara Masechet Shabbos that Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us, "Ein keli nittel l'tzarech davish en nittel b'Shabbos." One may not move a non-muksa vessel for the purpose of muksa on Shabbos. So asks Rashi in Tosfos, here we have this keli, this egg is muksa. So how could the Braisa allow us to move another keli to protect it? So Rashi and Tosfos expounds on what Rashi teaches us, says that we picked up the keli, with a heter, and since we picked up the keli for a permitted reason, therefore we can now continue to move it, even to carry it to cover a davar muksa. And Tosfos says from here we see that a keli shemelachto le'iser, which is muksa, but it may be moved letzarech gufay mekaymai. The halacha is, once I pick it up and I move it, I can carry it as far as I want. I can carry it even to cover a davar muksa. And that's actually the halacha that the Shulchan Aruch brings. Once a keli shemelachto le'iser is moved letzarech gufay mekaymai, I can take it as far and for what I want, even to cover a davar muksa. Mishnah Brura discusses what's going to be the halacha if it was picked up by mistake. What will be the halacha? Will it be the same as if it was picked up letzarech gufay mekaymai? He says, the Mishnah Brura says, it's a machloikis of the Magen Avraham and the Gra, that the Magen Avraham will say, picking something up, even by mistake, a keli shemelach d'iliser, I can now carry it to how far I want. The Gra, the Mishnah Brura says, is machmer. However, the Chazon Ish says that there's no way to understand that the Gra should be machmer, because the Chazon Ish says that once somebody picked up this keli shemelach d'iliser, yes, he had no right to pick it up, it was picked up in error, but now he doesn't have to hold it the whole Shabbos. Holding it in his hands is a tzarech mekaymai. And Tosfos just taught us that if something is moved with tzarech mekaymai, I could take it as far as I want. So this is now a situation of tzarech mekaymai, and says the Chazon Ish that everybody will agree it may be moved. As we said yesterday, this machloikis also is if somebody picked up muksa, like we explained yesterday, to clear off a table, is the same shaila. The Bi'al Lacha says that even if we're going to be makel by keli shemelach d'iliser, that it can be carried as far as we want, it may not be necessarily the same case here. V'sveika, continues the Braisa, v'sveika, in a case of doubt, the egg is osur. V'nis'ava ba'elof, and if this egg gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, the halacha is kulan asuras, all the eggs are prohibited. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'rabba d'am shemachana. According to Rabbi, who explained that the concern of the egg that's laid on Yontav is achana, it's a sofik deraisa, have a sfeika deraisa, it's a shalabat deraisa, and we know the rule is, kol sfeika deraisa l'chumra. Ask the Gemara, El Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yitzchak, Damri Mishum Gzeira, that they say that the entire reason why an egg that's laid on Yontav is osir is because of Gzeira, Mashkin Shazavu, Peres Anoshrim. So this is a situation of a drabonon. Sveiked rabonon he. And we know kol sveiked rabonon is lakula. So why are we being machmeh here? So again, ask the Rishonim. Why didn't the Gemara ask about Rav Nachman? The Rav Nachman also explained our Mishnah that the concern of an egg is muksa. And muksa is a drabonon. So again, the Rajba, the Tosfos Yeshanim, repeat the point that we made on Amud Aleph, that muksa is not a regular drabonon, and even if by regular drabonon we have the rule as the Gemara just quoted, sofik drabonon lekula, when we're dealing with a question of muksa, even if it's a drabonon, we're more machmer. So since the Gemara is safer, the last case of the Mishnah that we're machmer by the sofik is not referring to the egg that was born in Yontif, Rather, it's referring l'safek treifa. There's a question if this egg is a treifa. The Rishonim explain, there's two ways of explaining it. One way of explaining is there's a question that the chicken from which this egg was born might be a treifa or not. Any egg born from a chicken that's treif is treif itself. Another way of explaining it is that the suffix is on the egg. That we know there's an egg that's treif, we just don't know if this egg that's in front of us was born from the chicken that's treif or not. Ihachi, and as Rashi explains, the first part of the Mishnah was discussing Beish and all the Beyontif. The way now the Gemara is explaining the last part of the Braisa is referring to Hilchos Treifus. What's happening here? Says Rashi, the subject of the Mishnah is not Beish and Nol D'Yontif or Treifa. The subject of the Mishnah is eggs. And the Mishnah is teaching us various halachas regarding eggs. First part about Beish and Nol D'Yontif. The second part is about Treifa. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Eim Seifa. Let's continue understanding this braisa. Nisarif ba'alif, if this egg gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, kulan asuris, all the eggs are awesome. Ask the Gemara. Yeah, b'shlama, if we're going to say the way to understand this braisa is because it's sofik yontif, sofik choyl, we don't know if this egg was born on shontif or was born during the weekday, and that's why we're being machmer, because have a davashesh lamatirin. There's a klal that even though in halacha we speak about bittel, items becoming nullified, something that's going to be mutter ultimately anyway, we don't say that it becomes bottle. Yeah, have a davar shesh matirin, it ultimately will be mutter after yontif the egg, even if it was born on yontif, is permitted, and halacha is called davar shesh matirin, I feel by elef lay bottle. However, ask the Gemara, Eliam it's sofik treifa, if you're going to say the issue being discussed here in the Braisa is that the egg is a suffix treifa, so a treifa never is mutter. Dovish ein matirin hi. So why, if this egg got mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, does it say that all the eggs are usur? Ti batel berubai. It should be batel. It should be because it's not a dovish ein matirin and it's only one egg amongst 1,000. So Rashi explains why is a dovish yesh le matirin not bottle, because Rashi says atcha techlenu beisser techlenu beheter, meaning why should I have a shaila that the egg I'm eating may be permitted or not? Wait, and it'll be after yontif, it's certainly permitted. So there's a very important, first of all, the Tzlach teaches us that the halach of davar shesh matirin is only regarding eating, not regarding tiltel. There we would be allowed to, we would certainly be allowed to be to move the egg. But the Tzlach takes this position a step further. And the way we'll explain the Tzlach's position is with a shayla that was asked. There was a simcha in a catering hall on Friday evening, and the women lit their candles. There were really no room on the table to light the candles. So they lit their candles on chairs. There were plenty of chairs. They lit the candle on chairs. They come back to the Simcha Hall Shabbos morning, and they see that all the chairs are clean. The waiters had removed the candles, the candelabras, from the chairs on which they had been placed Friday evening. Although those chairs had become muksa, because they became a bosses ladover also. So one person there said, we could sit on any of the chairs. It's bottle barayif. Most of the chairs were not used to hold candles. But there was another person who learned our sugya that said, Sdavah shesh lematirin. The chairs are only osur on Shabbos because they become bosses sdavah osur. After Shabbos, there's no issue of muksa. So all the chairs will be permitted after Shabbos. And our Gemara just taught us that by a davah shesh lematirin, we don't say bittel. So the answer to that question is a Tzlach. The Tzlach says that when does Rashi hold that Atcha techlena be'isser, techlena be'heter, is when it comes to eat. An egg can only be eaten once. So the Gemara is teaching us, why eat the egg on Shabbos Yontif? And you may be eating an egg, you're not allowed to eat. Wait till after Shabbos and Yontif, techlena be'heter.
But something that could be used and reused, there's no concept of Atcher Techlen Beheser Techlen Beheter. Because the fact that you don't let me use this today doesn't make a difference that I'll be able to use it tomorrow. I want to use it today also. And therefore, although the chairs are a Dovah Shesh L'Materim, that after Shabbos and Yontif, I'll be able to use the chairs without a Shaila, I want to use the chairs on Shabbos, and since most of the chairs were not a buses, the halach is you could sit on any of the chairs. The Rashba, and it's very similar to the Tzlach's point, says that, let's say by waiting till after Shabbos or Yontif, the item to be eaten will not be as good, then we don't say Dovah Shesh L'Materim is not bottle. Because the entire reason we say Dovah Shesh L'Materim is not bottle is because Atch Techlena Besa Techlena Beheter, it's when all things are equal. Here all things are not equal. It's better to eat it today, then we don't say Dovah Shesh L'Materim is bottle. There's another Shaila that the Paschim discuss, is let's say a Dovah Shesh L'Materim was mixed together with other items. And then one of those, and so we say Dovah Shesh L'Materim is not bottle. And now, one of those items in that mixture, something from that mixture comes out. Do we say, call the parish merubah parish, and it'll be permitted to eat? Or we don't say, call the parish merubah parish, since the mixture was a dovah shesh l'materin? Tzlach holds that we say, call the parish, even in the mixture with a dovah shesh l'materin. The Magen Avraham, the Tzemach Tzedek, disagree, and they say since we're dealing with a situation of a Dovah Shesh L'Materin, even if we now have a second situation of called the Parish, the Merubah Parish, we still do not apply the concept of Bittel, and it will be prohibited. So now the question is, if we explain that the Bryce is referring to a situation of an egg that's treif, so an egg that's treif is not a Dovah Shesh L'Materin, so the question is, why isn't a bottle? You'll say that Chazal taught us that anything that's significant never becomes bottle. Says the Gemara, there's a machloikis and how to understand what is a davar choshev. That any item which is usually counted and sold as an individual unit is considered significant and doesn't become bottle. Eggs are usually sold one by piece. That only something that's always sold by piece is considered davar choshev. Eggs sometimes are sold by the lot. So why is the halacha that the egg is not bottle? Ma'ikal meimer, the Tanan, and the Gemara says, where do we have this machlokes? Mishesh lechavila tilton shel kalei kerem. Somebody had bundles of tilson, it's a bean that's used as a spice, yidliku. And it's kloyim, and the halacha is that kloyim you have to destroy, so halacha is you have to burn the entire bunch. This arv bacheris, if this bundle became mingled with other bundles, vacheris bacheris, and this bundle then came mixed with another group, kulan yidliku. They all have to be burnt. Divrei remeya. The chamas say, the shear for klayim for bittel is a ratio of 200 to 1, so we have this ratio of 200 to 1, it becomes bottle. Tarsus points out that the Bryce here says this av bacheros vacheros bacheros that got mixed up twice, says Rabbeinu Tam that that's not the case, because if it got mixed up twice it would be a svek sveka, and a svek sveka is always mutter. There are other Rishonim that disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. Because Ramey said, Eshadarka limnos, anything that's sold as individual units doesn't become bottle. Mekadish, and it therefore makes the entire mixer kadosh, it can't be used. Only six items are considered that choshev that don't become bottle. Kivayim, there are shiva. Velayna goizi perach. Perach nuts, some Rishonim explain because it comes from a place called Perach. Others say because they're easily cracked. Remind a Baden, either they come from the place Baden or the very big, good pomegranates. Chav Yistumis, seal casks of wine. A Choshev, once the cask is opened, it's not Choshev. Chavile Tirdon, type of very good beets. Kalchikruv, cabbage, with Las Yivonis, and a Greek cucumber. Rav Kiva Maisif Af Kikros Shabalabayas, also the loaves, homemade loaves of bread. Haroi La'ala Arla, in any of these items where there's a concern that they're Arla, Arla, the entire mixture will be considered Arla, no matter what the ratio is. Haroi La'ali Karim, and if one of them is Klayim, then the entire mixture will be considered Kalei HaKerem. Vitma Allah, and we learned regarding this Mishnah, Ramei meant that only items which are always counted don't become bottle. Shlakish Amar, Eshadaklim Nishaninu, even if it's usually counted. So now ask the Gemara. Hanichlare Shlakish, now we could understand why the egg of a treif doesn't become bottle, because it's a dover chashiv, because it's usually counted. Eller of Yoichanan, that says that it has to always be counted. Michael Meimer, an egg is not always counted. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Haib Tana, the Tana of the Spraisa, that says that the egg is not bottle, is Tana the Litra Ktsiyasi. The Tana that taught us the law of a litra of dried figs. Doma, Kol Dover Shibiminyan, anything that's counted, a field of a drabonon, even when it's a shayla of an issa drabonon, and certainly the koshkim of the raisa, when we're dealing with a deraisa, like our situation, where the egg that's a trefa is also a deraisa, never comes bottle. The Tanan. For we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechta Chumas. Before we quote the Mishnah, we should just explain briefly how figs were processed. First, they were put out in the field to dry. Afterwards, an instrument called the Mektsoya was used to cut the figs and to remove the stems. And then the eggs were pressed into an eagle, a round mold. Rashi says similar to the mold that we make cheese. And then these Egulei Dveila were taken to the market, where pieces of litra weight were separated from the cake with a fork and individually sold. Says the Mishnah, litra katsiyas shatars apia eagle. A litra of dried figs that's only truma madrabanan, that one pressed into the mouth of a round mold. Veni debe is eagle darsa. It doesn't know into which mold he put that litra. Apia chavis, or he put that litra into the top of a cask. Then he debes a chavis darsa. He doesn't know into which cask he put it. A picaveris. He put it on top of a basket. Then he debes a caveris darsa. He doesn't know into which basket he put it. So Remeya says there's a machloikis here. The Rebbe Lezer Oimer. Rebbe Lezer says roin el sal yoinis ki perudis. We look at the litris that are on the top of the basket, or on the top of the chavis, and we look at it as if it's separated. For tachtonis malas el sal yoinis. Rabbi Yeshua Aimer, Im Yesha Mei Pumim Yalu, Vim Lav, Hapumim Asurim, Vashalayim Matarim. So the way Ramei explains the Machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua is as follows. Ramei says that according to Rabbi Yeshua, the only figs that should be taken into consideration when we want to decide is a bottle or not are the figs that are on top of the basket. Because we know for sure that the fig which is Truma is on tap. So there's no reason to consider the figs that are on bottom into this calculation. Ramei says the Rebbe Lezer is even more makel. And he holds that even though we know for sure that the prohibited fig is not on the bottom of the basket, we could take it into consideration. The Yerushalmi says, certainly we're dealing in a situation that each basket, the figs on the bottom are a roiv, are a majority, versus the figs on the top. Yehuda has a more stringent application of this machloikus. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, Im Yesha Mei Pumim. If there are 100 Pumim, if there are 100 top baskets versus this one, then Yalu becomes bottle. Vimlav, if we don't have this ratio of 100 to 1, which is the ratio of Truma, Hapumim Asurim, all the figs on the top of the baskets are Asur, Vashulayim Mutarim, the figs on the bottom of the basket are Mutar. Shu Oimer, Shu says, Afilu Yesham Shlosh Mei Pumim. Even if there are many, the 300 top baskets are prohibited figs, still loyalu, they will not nullify the truma. Why? Because we see here that even though we're dealing with truma, which is only drabonin, we see that the Tana holds that any fig remains prohibited since it's sometimes sold individually, and the same thing will be regarding eggs. The Braisa teaches us one more case. Darsa be'igel. If you put the litter of figs into a ram mold, he doesn't know into which mold he pressed it. Diriakul yalu. Everybody agrees that it becomes nullified. Diriakul. As to Mahana Plutayu, isn't that the machlokes we just explained? Amar papa hokkama. Darsa be'igel. If you put the litter of truma figs into the mold, then he be'ezemokum eagle darsa, and he doesn't know in which part of the mold he pressed it. Is it in the north side or in the south side? The reactor, since we don't know where it is, it could become bottle. Since it's not a recognizable separate unit, and it becomes bottle. Then it's certainly not considered a davar shebeminyan. The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, paskens like Rabbi Kiva, that only the seven items that we mentioned that are choshev don't become bottle. However, the Rama paskens like Rav Meir with Rav Yochanan's explanation that if something is always sold by piece, it doesn't become bottle. And furthermore, the Shach says that even though the Gemara says in the time of Chazal, eggs were not necessarily sold by piece, nowadays eggs are certainly sold by piece, and therefore don't become bottle. Rav Ashi gives another explanation on the Mishnah, that we said that if according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, eggs that are laid on Yontav are Asur, because it's a Shaila of a Derabbanon, why doesn't it become bottle? Says the Loilam, the question is, Yontav Sotah Choyl. The question is, when this egg was born, was it born on Yontav or on Choyl? And why does it become bottle? Because it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, and the halach is called davar sheyesh lematirin. Anything that a davar sheyesh lematirin, the halach is afil with rabbanon loy bottle, doesn't become bottle. However, the Yad Avram makes a very interesting point. He says, when is the halacha that a davar sheyesh lematirin doesn't become bottle, even when it's a darabbanon? That's when it's a question in the metzias, like in our situation. We don't know if the egg was born or in yontif or not on Yontif. However, when it's a question in Din, if it's only a question in Rabbanon, there a Dovah Sheshla Matirin does become bottle.